Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. We have some tonight. We just give God the glory. We praise Him. We love Him and we adore Him. There's no God like our God. We just want to let you know why we got something for you. Listen up. We got some people going to come on and talk to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise His name.
Thank you.
You all right, Morris? You can change positive you want if you like. You will just need to open a browser and you will like
Hello? Go ahead and start.
All right, brother. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Willie Hunter and all those who are listening all around the world. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International, at 984 Reverend D.J. Lewis Drive, here in Houston, Texas. Our service times on Sunday is at 10:30 a.m., and our Wednesday night Bible study begins at 7 p.m. I'd love to see you face on the place.
Come by and worship with us.
Wherever you have your Bible. I'm hearing an echo.
Okay. Let me take it off.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. God is an awesome God. Oh, he's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 7. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As I was with Moses. God is talking to you, child of God. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God has some land to give you. But he says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Underline this part right here. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God is telling you not to turn from keeping his commandments, from doing what he tells us to do. Don't turn. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, he's saying, keep your focus. Keep your focus on obeying me and doing what I tell you to do so that you can prosper wherever you go. Oh, hallelujah. God promises to prosper you if you just keep your focus. Don't turn to the right, turn to the left. Don't let anybody distract you. Don't let anything distract you. Don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left. The message God has given me for you is keep your focus. Keep your focus, man of God. Keep your focus, woman of God. Keep your focus. Don't let the enemy come in and distract you. Don't let any individual, any person distract you
obey God's commandments, do what he's called you to do. Keep your focus. And that's the message God wanted me to tell you tonight. Stay focused, child of God. Stay focused. This message is going to show you some things that you can do that will help you to stay focused so you can prosper. Because God says that if you don't turn to the right or don't turn to the left, if you stay focused on doing what he's called you to do, you will prosper wherever you go. Hallelujah. Number one, well, I want to show you another. I want to show you another scripture. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. A lot of people in these times, Apostle Hunter, they're losing their focus. They're losing their focus. They're being distracted by so many other things. God wants you to keep your focus. He's telling you that you'll prosper. You won't fail if you stay focused on what he's told you to do, what he's called you to do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. God is letting us know right here in this scripture that some people are going to turn away from him. They're going to turn away from the faith. They're going to walk away and turn their backs because they have gotten distracted. They have lost their focus. Expressly in the latter times, some, not all, but some shall depart from the faith. They're going to leave God. They're going to leave the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are some devils on this earth that are trying to distract God's people, trying to get God's people out of focus, trying to get them off course. So we got to watch these seducing spirits. You know, the devil, I'm going to show you. See, you can't go after everything that looks good, that smells good, that looks good and appealing to the eyes, because I'm telling you, the devil, he's a seducing spirit. He comes to seduce you, distract, to draw away your attention from God, to persuade you into wrongdoing by offering temptations. Hallelujah. The devil comes to tempt you, and he comes nothing but to get you off course, get you out of focus so he can distract you and destroy you. We've got to beware of seducing spirits. Everything that looks good is not good. You know, the devil will show up in a skirt. He can show up at your house in a skirt with high-heel shoes on and lipstick just to cause you to lose your focus and distract you and to draw you off course, to tempt you. The devil will show up in a three-piece suit. The devil will show up in a collar standing behind the pulpit, a wolf in sheep's clothing, to cause you to lose your focus and to get you off track. That's why God wanted me to tell you, stay focused, child of God. Stay focused. Don't be seduced by doctrines of demons. There are so many doctrines out there, false doctrines, that is, false doctrines, the Jehovah Witness, false doctrine, this Muslim group, false doctrine, that you know what, worshiping Buddha, false doctrine. There's doctrines of demons, and they're geared toward getting you off track, causing you, they want you to lose your focus. Oh, glory to God. Satan is trying to get you out of focus. He wants you to get off track. Oh, glory to God. Stay focused, child of God. Don't be drawn away and persuaded into wrongdoing by the devil. Oh, glory to God. You've got to focus to prosper. You've got to focus to prosper in life. You've got to focus. You've got to stay focused on what God has called you to do. How can you stay focused? What's some things that you can do to stay focused? Number one thing that looks good. That's right. We can't go after everything that looks good. The old people, used to say. I remember they used to say Junior. That's what they called me, you know, coming up as a young boy. Some of them at home still call me Junior. They say, Junior, everything that shines is not gold. Hallelujah. Everything, and I found out that to be true. Everything that shines is not gold. It's a trick. The devil will appear to you, the scripture lets us know, as an angel of light. Or he can show up to you as something looking good and appearing to be good. But see, we're not to go after everything that looks good. You've got to try the Spirit by the Spirit. You've got to acknowledge God in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. You've got to ask God, God, give me discernment. Give me discernment. Should I do this or should not I do this? You've got to ask God. You've got to ask questions and ask God. You've got to ask God for discernment so you can tell what's good and what's not. Don't go after everything that looks good. You see, man has it so that they look at the outer appearance. We go a lot on the outer appearance. But we've got to really know what's inside of a person. You can get hooked up with the wrong person, and inside of them is nothing but a devil. Oh, they look good, they smell good, and oh, but inside they're nothing but a devil. We can't go after everything that looks good. My mother, when I was 16 years old, bless my mother's heart, thank God she's in heaven now. My mother is a Christian. She taught me how to pray, and she's in heaven now, Apostle, those who are listening. She's in heaven now. But when my mother was 34 years old and I was 16 years old, her and my dad went through a separation. And they went through a separation, and both of them, my dad got involved with some other lady, and my mother, you know, we all make mistakes. My mother got involved with another man, and he was a childhood friend of hers that she had grown up with from a little child, from a kid in the neighborhood she had grown up with. And both my mother and my dad, they lost focus. And you know, it's not guaranteed that you'll have a second chance all the time. I mean, I tell you, some mistakes can be your last mistake. And in the case of my mother, that was her last mistake. That was her last mistake. You're not guaranteed a second chance. Don't get it twisted, people. You're not guaranteed. Sure, they say, oh, God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Oh, God is merciful. But let me tell you something. It's not guaranteed that you'll get a chance after a mistake. Your last one mistake could be your last mistake. And that's what happened to my mother. She lost, got off focus. She taught me how to pray. She was a Christian. And, you know, when you're married, you know what, you shouldn't get involved with anyone else. That goes for my father, my dad, and her. But she made a mistake. She was a good woman. She's a Christian. They make mistakes. Christians, we make mistakes. But let me tell you again, your first mistake can be your last mistake. It can be your last mistake. You're not guaranteed a second chance. So we've got to stay focused. We've got to stay focused and pay attention to what God is telling us. Well, anyway, my mother got hooked up with this man, and he started hitting on her. And I tried to fight him back and come back, and, man, you hit my mother, man. And I told my grandfather, and I went over to my grandfather's house and told my grandfather. He came over there and he said, man, you put your hands on my grandson again, I'm going to kill you. You know, my granddad was old school. He's a good Christian. He's a good Christian, but he told him that man like it is. Well, anyway, this man, he continued to hit my mother, and my mother said, hey, you know, that's it. You know what, I'm going to raise my children myself. And we're going to go alone ourselves. We're going to do it ourselves. I'm going to raise my children. She told that man that you got to go. But what that man did, he didn't go. That man hit my mother in the head with an axe, and he brutally murdered her at 34 years old. He hit my mother in the head with an axe and murdered her. That was her last mistake. And that's what I'm telling you. A mistake can be your last mistake. One mistake can be your last mistake. You're not guaranteed another chance. Don't get it twisted. So I said all that to say this. Stay focused. Ask God for discernment. Stay focused and try to make as less mistakes as you can. You're not always guaranteed a second chance. Your mess up could be your last mess up. We've got to stay focused. The enemy came in and he tricked my mother. He tricked my dad, but thank God my mother is a Christian. She still got the victory, and she's in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. But she could have still been living here. Man's days should be 120 years, Genesis 6:3. She could still be living here. She could still be serving God. But she made a mistake and got out of focus. And so that's why God wanted me to give you that testimony and share with you, child of God, stay focused. You're not guaranteed another chance. Stay focused. God has great things for you. But you're going to have to stay focused. Oh, glory to God. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things. And he said, and all these things will be added unto you. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear will be added unto you, the necessities of life. But in order to for me to add the necessities of life to your life, you're going to have to stay focused on me. You're going to have to stay focused on doing the things I tell you to do. You have to stay focused on living the way I say live. Stay focused, child of God, and God will cause you to prosper. He'll elevate you. He'll add the necessities of life to you when you stay focused. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Don't turn to the right, to the left. Stay focused. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, God has promotion for you. God has increase for you. God has healing for your body. God has a lot of wonderful prosperity and good things for your life. He has that for you, but in order to get it, you're going to have to stay focused. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, we've got to stay focused. There are even some false apostles. False ministry behind the pulpit. If God would open up your spiritual eyes, some of these apostles behind the pulpit, if God would open up your spiritual eyes, they're a devil. It's a demon behind the pulpit leading people astray. We've got to stay focused, child of God, and ask God for discernment. And we've got to learn to test the Spirit by the Spirit. Not everything that looks good is good. The devil is out to trick you in the form of even false apostles. They'll have on collars and suits and priestly collars and priestly robes and standing behind the pulpit. But if God would open you up your spiritual eyes, nothing but a devil, a demon with a pitchfork, so to speak. You know, I'm just kidding. I don't think the devil don't have a tail and walk around with a pitchfork, but I'm just having a little humor here. You've got to stay focused. There's even false apostles tricking people. And not only false apostles, but false evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. There's false fivefold ministry, so-called fivefold ministry. They're false. They're nothing but devils in sheep clothing, wolves in sheep clothing, good child of God. Keep your ears open and stay in tune with God. Talk to God. acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. He'll show you what's right and what's not right, and where to go and where not to go. Stay focused, child of God. Stay focused. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan will appear to be someone good. He'll come up to you all pretty with a skirt on and high heel shoes and lipstick, and I tell you, looking all beautiful. He'll come to you as a woman to cause you to lose your focus. You know you're married, but he'll send a woman your way. He'll come to you as a woman with lipstick on, skirt on, high heel shoes and everything, cause you to try to tempt you to lose focus, to try to cause you to lose focus and get off track so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. God wanted me to tell you tonight and encourage you tonight. Encourage you. That's all I'm doing, is encouraging you, is to stay focused. Stay connected and stay focused on God. Keep your ears open. Ask God for discernment. Glory to God. Ask God to help you to keep your focus. We want to eliminate mistakes. We want to eliminate them, because one mistake could be your last mistake. You're not always guaranteed a second chance. Don't let people fool you. Don't let people fool you. I've made mistakes before, and some of them I'm still recovering from. I'm still recovering from some of the mistakes I've made in life. It makes it hard for you, child of God. Stay focused. My mother made a mistake, bless her heart. She's a good Christian woman, a good person. But she just really made one mistake. And it was her last mistake. She lost her focus. This is serious business. Not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to educate you. Because if you stay focused and don't turn to the left or to the right, God will cause you to prosper wherever you go. Don't go after everything that looks good. Because everything that looks good is not good. Number two, we need to focus on that which is vital. Focus on that which is vital. The word of God and the presence of God is vital. Vital, what is that word vital mean? It means necessary, of utmost importance. It's essential for life. Don't you know that the word of God is essential for life? That's like you don't want to miss out on any of your essential vitamins. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out on the presence and the word of God, because that's what's vital. The scripture says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You can live, because it's what? A vital necessity. Oh, glory to God. It's vital that you and I have air. It's vital. It's essential. It's necessary that we have air in this earth realm to breathe. Well, surely it's vital to have, we've got to have the word of God. We've got to have the presence of God in our life. It's vital. I don't know what to do, where to go, what to say without God. I don't know what to wear, what to dress in, what to drive. I don't know anything without God. We need to recognize that he's vital. He's of utmost importance. He's a vital. He's necessary. Hallelujah. Oh, God is necessary. I need God more than I need air. I need God. I need Jesus. I need Yeshua, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I need him. He is a vital necessity. I'm talking about what we can do to stay focused. Number one, don't go after everything that looks good, because the devil disguises himself even as an angel of light. Number two, We need to go after that what's vital. We need to focus on that what's vital. It's necessary for life. Look at Matthew chapter 4. The word of God and God's presence is vital. That's why we need to get in it every day. We need to read it. We need to meditate on the word every day. It's of vital importance. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. I'm reading, actually, that's Mark chapter 4. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 4, I was over in Mark. I'm sorry about that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We need God's word to live. Hallelujah. We need God's word to live. We need his word. It is vital. And we need to focus on that which is vital. Oh, glory to God. You have people washing their cars and doing other things and missing church just to go to these games, football games and things like that. That's not vital. That football game is not paying your water bill, your light bill, and healing your body. The word of God will. The word of God will pay your bills. The word of God will heal your body, and it does heal my body. It does pay my bills. The word of God is of vital importance, of vital necessity. Go after that which is vital, and you will stay focused. You will stay focused, and God will cause you to prosper whithersoever you goeth. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I got a couple of minutes. Turn to Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 10. And let's look at verse 38. The 10, verse 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard what? The word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come and she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, glory to God. Jesus said, one thing, Martha, is needful. It's vital. It's of utmost importance. One thing is needed, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing the words that were coming out of his mouth. Jesus said, one thing is needful, and that's his word. The word of God is needful. It is a vital necessity. If we're going to stay focused, let's stay focused on the word of God. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Everything that looks good, because everything that looks good is not good. Everything that shines is not gold. Test the spirit by the spirit. Ask God for discernment before you jump into anything or get hooked up with anyone. And number two, focus on the word. Focus on that is vital. And the word of God is vital. Glory to God. Apostle?
Praise God.
Hello, Pastor.
How are you? Blessed, bro. I'll tell you what. Thank you, man. You hammered that one.
Oh, glory to God, Pastor. Glory to God.
Man, you hammered that. I've been trying to hammer that for I don't know how long. with my ministry and speaking on the essentials of Christ and the false prophets and everything else. Man, oh man, oh man, you hit that one. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Pastor. It's good to hear
Amen.
Your voice.
You too. You too. Praise God.
And God bless you, and thank you for all the great work that you're doing, Pastor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you are doing a great work. You and your missionary work and all the work that you're doing is really great, and it's really encouraging to see all that you do.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the God keeps opening doors. It's not me. I mean, and I'm willing to step through them and do what I can and you know, and to be honest with you, sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. I just be led by the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing I can do. Otherwise, I look foolish out there. And sometimes I think I do look foolish, but.
God is using you. He's using you. He's using you.
Amen,
amen.
Yes, by golly. So, now is Dr. Hunter there?
Apostle?
Yeah.
Dr.
No.
I'm in the background.
Oh, he's there. Praise God.
Praise God, Apostle. Thank God for your faithfulness, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead and give us the word, my brother.
All right. Praise God. Just to hit on a couple of points with you were talking about and the other radio program that I'm doing and I'm working on, about maybe putting a kids' show together. And a lot of the kids sit there and preach and minister. And I had one young man sit there and said, well, I want to get on there. And I said, well, okay. I said, what do you know about Jesus? And he says, well, what do you mean? Well, I said, it's a Christian broadcasting station. And I says, you know, I said, what do you know about Jesus? I talk about Jesus. And he sat there and he said, well, not much. And I said, well, where's your Bible? How come you're not reading your Bible? And he said, well, I don't have one. And I just happened to have my iPhone with me. And I said, well, just a minute. And I punched up Bible on my iPhone. And I said, well, what's looking here? Here's the New Testament. Here's all these different Gateway Bibles. Here's all these other Bibles. I said, well, how come you're not reading them? And he said, well, I've got my games. You know, that struck a point with me. The kids, we're losing these kids to these games, these video games. We're losing this nation, but we're seeing that the colleges and so on and so forth, they don't want to hear the word. They don't want to hear, and they're becoming very vicious and very, very angry. It's nothing to do with I'm getting a lot of static in there. They don't want to hear the word. They keep trying to silence the word of God. And not only the word of God, but anybody has the right to speak. Whether or not that we would agree with them or not, we all have that fundamental right to be able to speak. And sometimes, you know, it's not all one-sided. And well, I want to go with this on a little bit. You know, like I said, we're seeing the anarchy in the streets. We're seeing it in the colleges and if you're pro-life, you know, then the battery comes against you and they hate you. And if you're pro this, and everybody comes against you and hates you. And anytime you have anything to say that has any common sense at all, a lot of them, they don't want to listen to it. Now, that's Satan. It's come into the colleges. It's coming into the schools. And they're bringing it right into the kids in the schools, in the elementary schools, and into the junior high and high school. It's coming. And we're sending our kids to these schools, and they are not protected. How many mothers and fathers are praying over their children before they send them out the door? That they would not, so they would not be intimidated. They would not hear this nonsense that's going on in the schools, and they would know and understand. And how many of them would sit there and take their kids and take the iPhones away from them and take the iPads and everything else that they got and say, no, we're going to have an hour of Bible study tonight. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're not going to watch a movie. We're not going to watch these silly TV shows. We're not going to watch Disney anymore because there's a lot of stuff on those channels that are degrading to fathers, to parents. There's kids out there that smarter than anybody, you know, smarter than the parents, smarter than, and it's wrong. It's degrading. It's degrading to the parents, degrading to, and then these kids are watching this, and they're looking at their parents and saying, who are you? You know, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to say, who are you? And I'm afraid what God is going to say to them. You know, there's one passage in the Bible where God tells us, says at one point, it says, don't pray for these people anymore. He says, I'm not going to listen to your prayers. Because they're going to be so inundated and so evil and so ugly that God is not even going to hear them. He's not going to hear their cries. He's not going to hear this the stuff. Right now, while the light of God is shining here, and every Christian, that everybody who is speaking, that the world is trying to silence, and God is speaking to them, and is speaking to them, and they're rejecting, and they're rejecting, and they're rejecting. And at some point, God's going to say enough. And those children and adults, or depending on how long or whatever, they're going to be lost forever. We should be weeping now. We should be crying out. And we should be standing strong. And even if you don't know how to evangelize to somebody, you know, just all you got to say to somebody is what God has done in your life. That's probably one of the greatest testimonies that you could ever give, how God has changed your life. See, people can sit there and pick you apart about the Bible if you don't truly understand, you don't know the Word of God. All you've done is just read it, and you know that Jesus came to earth. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And the stories in the Bible about the kings and about all the prophets and all the everyone else who's come into the Bible in a lineage of Christ, and all the way through Moses and all the way back to Noah, why the floods and everything else, and you have no understanding why these things happen. And all the way back, I've had one person sit there and say, well, why would God sit there and have Abraham kill his son? I said, he didn't. He put a goat in the bush, but he just wanted to know. Two things I think he wanted to know. One, he wanted to know, do you really trust me? And two, as if he was being so obedient, God wanted to show Abraham where his heart was at. Now, I don't imagine that man really wanted to sacrifice his son on an altar, but God did. God sacrificed his son, Jesus, for all of us. And we can talk about that, but without the understanding of why these things happen. Why did Christ come? Why did God do these things? You see, like I said, is it being a witness to Christ, to Christ and to Jesus, is maybe not so much. You might not understand. Yes, that is a vital, important part. But what he did in your life, how he changed your life, how he's changed your marriage, how he's changed your financial situations, how he's came into your life and saved somebody near death. You know, those things that nobody can really sit there and come against you and say differently, because it's your testimony. It's your testimony onto the Lord. And that's what we need to be stepping out into and start speaking these things. And like I said, you know, parents, you know, if you've got your kids and you're allowing these games, video games, and go letting them go to the arcades and let them go to the movies and see this filth that's being portrayed in the movies anymore. There's hardly anything good on in the movies anymore. There's hardly anything good to see on TV. Even the comedians are not funny anymore. There's very few comedians on television that are funny. And people were seeing this, and yet they're accepting this as reality of life. They're accepting this. They're beginning to laugh at it. And what they are doing, and through that, they're degrading themselves before God. They're degrading themselves before mankind. They're taking themselves down to the lowest point. It's like you said, Apostle, you know, there's false prophets out there. There's false teachers. Then there's false preachers. And there's false everything else. And you know, and you can tell these, because the ones that you can tell are the ones who cannot speak about Jesus. They say your higher power. They say God. But they don't mention the name of Jesus. They don't talk about the blood of Jesus. They water down their messages and make it a homecoming message about, oh, everything's great and everything's profitable and everything is this, and God wants you to, yes, he does want us to be profitable. He wants us to have a good life. It says so in the Bible. He wants us to have a good life. But when they don't bring the true message and allow the sheep to feed off the true message of God, of Jesus, they're doing a dishonor to God. They're doing a dishonor to Jesus. They're doing a dishonor to the Holy Spirit. And they're all going to be held accountable for it. But in the meantime, those of us who do know and are silent and being still need to begin to speak up in the hallways of the schools, in the hallways, and in the rooms of council, of our city hall, and wherever else we can, and begin to speak up, and don't be silent. Let them come against you. Jesus said they will come against you, but that's all right. You already know it, but he's with you. And not only he's with you, if you begin to speak up, there'll be those who are sitting in the councils. They'll be sitting at the PTA meetings. They'll be sitting. They're in fear of being able to speak up but if you speak up, you begin to speak out, it will resurrect something into their hearts and know and say, yeah, you know what? That person's right. It won't bring a condemnation, but it'll bring it'll bring them to a point in their lives. They'll convict their hearts to know that they should be speaking out against what's going on. I mean, we're seeing this in the colleges, and we're sort of wondering, where's the parents for these kids that are so in anarchy? What's going on? Why aren't the two parents sitting there going to the colleges and saying, hey, what's up with this stuff? Why aren't they speaking out and calling their congressman and say, hey, you know, we need to remove these people that are in teaching our kids wrong. We need to remove them. We need to bring the light of Christ back into our schools. We need to bring it back into our cities. We need to bring it back into the lives of our children. We need to sit there and turn off the video games. You know, like I said, we were talking. I was talking to the bishop, and we were talking about doing the radio show. And he's got two young kids. I think they're seven and eight, and they know the word of God. And here's this little boy, 13 years old, and I asked him. He says, "Well, I don't know much about it." He's a whiz, man. I mean, he goes through my he helps me on my computer and does all the other things, you know. And he can just put this thing all together and put these programs together for me. And he does it at the church for the church that he goes to. He sets up the programs and he does it all. But he knows nothing about God because he's so busy doing that he's not being able to hear the word. And yet, he has an excuse. He has no Bible. There's something wrong for a young man to put those things in such an order. I mean, I understand that he's doing good works. He understands he's doing all these things. But, you know, God says we don't get to heaven by good works. We get to heaven by knowing who he is. You know, when he calls, when Jesus sat there and talked about the going to the wedding, and the host is sat there and sees the man that's all dressed in rags, such as, "What are you doing here?" and kicks him out. That's a portrayal of a young man like this young man who has everything, but he has not the clothing, the knowledge of who Christ is. Think about that. That this young man, now I'm working with him, and I'm trying to help him. And his mom is very good. She's going into the prison. She's done prison ministry. She's done all the other things. Her dad is very good, but you know but they're having problems with this kid. And it's a matter of setting the priorities, setting them down, and say, "Hey, this is what we need to do. This is where we need to belong. This is what we need to do." And I'm just talking, this is one, but I know this is going out into many homes that are doing the same thing. This in every, I don't know how many homes, but I know that if it's happening in this home, it's happening in many homes, not just in this nation, but around the world. Because we're seeing it being lost. We're seeing the children being lost. We're seeing them being robbed of their virtues. Or we're seeing them being robbed and taken out of the existence of what God has put into our lives, into our hands. Literally, we're being robbed because the Satan is stealing the children. And these children are going to come along. They're going to be bringing up their children, and that children, that generation is going to be worse than the ones that are out there today. There has to be a limit. There has to be an end to this. And the only way that is that right now, those who are in Christ need to stand up and start speaking out. Praise God. I don't know if Prophetess Precious is online or not. If she's there, just... give me a holler out. I wanted to talk to you for a minute. I met her at this conference that we were at, and it was a 4-day conference. Hello?
Hello, I'm there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a 4-day conference. I'll get feedback on this. But it said it was a 4-day conference, it was a prophetic and healing conference, and actually everybody that was basically there, majority of them were all from Nigeria, and I was impressed. Because even they came here to this country, they came here with the idea of prospering, the American dream. And they got jobs because they know what it is to work for their wage. If they made a dollar a day or whatever it was they were making, and they were not being able to succeed and make a living in Nigeria and wherever else. So they came to America to live the American dream. And many of them all have homes. They got jobs. They got businesses. They fulfill that of their dreams, of the American dream. And you know, none of them were on welfare. None of them. There's something wrong when we have to sit there and deal with that. We take that away from people. The people who have been in this country all their lives. I've been ran a urgent care clinic, and I looked out the window one day, and there was five generations sitting out there in the lobby, and all of them were on welfare. There's no responsibilities.
Hey, man, can we speak to the lady
from... Sure.
Can we speak to the lady from Nigeria? Is she on the line with us? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, pal.
Yeah. So you know, actually, I'm going to in end of May. I'm going to I lost concentration. Uganda, and I'm going to Kenya with a couple of them that are from Nigeria, and they've got missions, and they're doing stuff in Uganda, and they're doing in Kenya, but anyhow, I was listening to them talk, and they're telling us. That those are there. They say that Islam is the fastest growing religion in Africa. It's overtaking Christianity. It's overtaking every other religion in the continent of Africa, and that takes in continent of Africa. That's Egypt and all the other countries, plus Sudan and all the whole continent. It says that Islam is taking over faster, but yet at the same time, there's a multitude that are coming to the Lord. You know, I had another friend of mine, and she goes to China, and she goes to Nepal, and like I've talked before, we're in China. There's 1 million people a month, I think it is, that are coming to the Lord. And, you know, when they take Bibles, they tear the pages out of the Bible, and they're in tears. And some of the people sit there and start ministries with one page, because what the Word of God does for these people that's been under communism, that's been under such a oppression of dictatorship and so on and so forth, and all these countries, they are so hungry that when they read even that one page, and they read the Bible, or they were heard the Word about Jesus, they heard the Word, their eyes were open. And they begin to rejoice. They realize the true life of Christ. They understand the true meaning of life. And even though they're still subject to the continents where they're from, they're still subject to the governments where they're at. Their eyes are open, and they become alive, and they have something to live for, and they have something to rejoice over. And that's because they heard the Word of God. I've sat there and they showed me pictures and videos of people that were getting Bibles in China and literally breaking down in tears and crying. That was so important. It was like as if they won the lotto. And then, like I said, there are some of them where there was only one Bible for the church, and they would pass it around to person to person. They'd take it home and read it that week. Next week, somebody else would take it home, and they would read it. Either that, like I said, if there was a Bible, and they would tear the pages out, and they share the pages. What are we doing here in this country? We're seeing it being silenced. You know, I've talked a story about Jesus when he got on the boat and he crossed over to the other side. And I told you that the natural and the spiritual aspect of it. In the spiritual aspect, when he got on the other side, and who would he confront? When they said they've run across the man, they couldn't contain, they couldn't chain, they couldn't keep him tied. And that was Satan, because it was full of the legions. It was full of the devils. So when he allowed them to go into the pigs, and the pigs were cast into the sea, to the abyss, that was when Satan sat there and says, "Oh, Son of God, how come you come to torment us before our time?" When he let them to go and he cast them into the sea, he cast them into the abyss. Now, you got to understand these two passages. That in that passage alone, when he allowed them to go into the pigs, that was the unclean realm, and he cast them into the abyss for a day to come. So our souls don't die. Our spirits don't die. They live forever. Either it's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. Those spirits that were cast into the sea are going to come back here on earth once again. And it's going to be hell on earth because God's going to let them loose. But you know what the sad thing is? Because when Jesus cleansed the land, in that boat, 12 disciples that were in that boat was the church that came across unto the land, which was of the Gentiles. And the sad part about it is, excuse me, with that verse alone, they told him to go away because they took away their livelihood. They took away their way of living, you know, and it wasn't just raising pigs was their way of living. It was their way of life. We have today, when we come to talk about Jesus, and they say, well, don't talk to us about Jesus because we reject him. That is a natural, supernatural being that the Gentiles are rejecting Christ. They're rejecting the church, and we're seeing it today. They're afraid that if they give their lives to the Lord, they're going to lose everything they have. They're going to lose the way they live, the way their life is. They're going to lose the fact that, well, we can't drink anymore. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't have fun anymore. Well, all that fun, so-called fun, is not fun because all that fun is a lie, and it's taking you right to the pit of hell. But you can be set free from that. You can be set free from that today and just receiving Jesus. You can be set free right now. You're asking Christ to come into your life. You ask him to open your eyes. Ask him, show me the truth, Lord. Show me the truth. Tell me, Lord. Come into my life. Change me. If you're tired of living the way you're living, if you're tired of being what it is that you're doing, and you know, you rejected Christ, you rejected him, or you rejected him, and you know in your heart there's something better, turn to him right now. Turn to him right now and begin to receive him. Because what the thing that you're looking better for is not in a beer bottle, it's not in a needle, it's not in a pill. It's not laying in bed with a strange woman or a strange man. It's not having all the money in the world, not winning the lotto, or it's in Christ. Let him come into your life. Let him begin to make a new life for you. Now, I'm not saying restore because God's not in the restoring business because he's in the new business. He makes all things new. Let him transform you. Let him change your life. Let him begin to open your eyes and your heart. Let him right now into your life. Ask him. And I would suggest that you would find a church. If you don't know where to go, that's all right, because once you receive Christ, God will direct you to the church you need to go. whether it be Dr. Newsom's church or Dr. Hunter's church or whoever church it is that she wants you to go, that pastor at that church will be there because he'll have all that you need because God has already prepared that pastor. Now, he's not going to get in the middle of your marriage squabbles, and he's not going to get in the middle of who said and he said and they said and we said this, but he's going to be able to teach you spiritually how you can get along and how you can live your life in Christ. Ask him right now. Father, anybody right now who's listening, Father, anybody who's in the sound of my voice, who's asking you, Lord, to come into their lives, Father, I ask that you receive them right now. Begin to change their lives, Lord. Set that path and that direction that you have for them, Lord. Set the hearts and the minds of those who are willing to be able to work with them, Lord, that change their lives and make a difference so that they can become a testimony unto you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's my word for the night.
Well, I want to just say tonight.
Hello?